WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are expected to gavel in and out of Governor Evers' special session on child care and workforce development today. The legislature is required to meet to take up the special session, but lawmakers don't have to debate what the governor's proposed. Republicans have routinely shut down the Democratic governor's past special sessions within seconds. Evers wants to restore funding to the Child Care Count subsidy program, while Republicans have introduced a package of bills to largely deregulate child care in Wisconsin. A package of Republican bills would put new limits on abortion in Wisconsin and lower the cost of adoption. Here's Nate Wegehout.
The bills got a hearing before a state Senate committee yesterday. One of them would clarify that treating miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies would not be considered abortions under state law. Republican Senator Romaine Quinn.
We don't live in a perfect world, and we have to face that things can go wrong during a pregnancy. This bill would affirm that in that event, Wisconsin laws protect the medical professional, the mother's life, and of course, the babies.
A second bill would ban state or local government employees from performing abortions. A third one earmarks $1 million in taxpayer money to go to pregnancy resource centers, which discourage abortions. A fourth bill would let people claim a fetus as a dependent for tax purposes. A fifth bill would set up $10,000 grants for adoptive families. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
A new Pew Center poll finds 2/3 of Americans support developing renewable energy. Local government leaders say they're doing their part. Here's Mike Moan.
Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway says at the local level, elected officials are becoming increasingly aware that climate threats are no longer just a future scenario to deal with.
We have to prepare for the impacts that we know are here and are coming. And we have to reduce our emissions so that they don't get worse in the future. And we have to do both of those things at the same time.
But she adds most local governments, especially in smaller towns, still lack key staffing to carry out the work. I'm Mike Moan reporting.
Milwaukee's oldest movie theater is closed after more than a century in business. The owners of the Downer Theater on North Downer Avenue made the announcement on Facebook. It opened in 1915 and was best known for art house films for the past several decades. Recent years have been hard on the movie theater business. The Hollywood Reporter says 2,000 American screens have gone dark since the pandemic. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. If you've noticed more spiders around than usual this year, University of Wisconsin-Green Bay professor Mike Draney has an explanation for you. According to a WSAU report, Professor Draney said having a mild winter like the one Wisconsin had last year can drastically increase the spider population in the state. According to Draney, when temperatures don't drop low enough, more spiders and similar bugs will survive throughout the winter, leading to an increase in normal population and potential spread throughout the state. Republican Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly Robin Voss is blocking pay raises for University of Wisconsin employees unless the university cuts diversity, equity, and inclusion spending by $32 million. The Republican-controlled legislature voted to cut funding to the University of Wisconsin systems, a number they identified as the funding for DEI efforts. The legislature had previously approved 4% raises for 34,000 university employees this year and 2% for next year. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewer bats finally come alive. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had not scored a run in 16 innings. Then last night, in the third, William Contreras got things going off of Cardinals pitcher David Rahm. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Contreras in.
Out to left, way back and gone. The Brewers are on the board on a solo homer by William Contreras.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, you can't say enough about the season William's having, you know, how durable he's been, the big hits. He's having a tremendous, tremendous season.
It was the first time the Brewers had ever faced the Cardinals lefty Drew Rahm. In the fourth, Milwaukee hit four consecutive doubles off of Rahm, including one from shortstop Willie Adames.
You know, we would just try to get a feeling for it, you know, and then in the second, you know, after we saw him the first time, and we know why he had you know, so, you know, that inning, it was really big for us. Gave the pitchers a little break right there. And, you know, the guys put a lot of good at-bats and we got some runs.
Willie Adames with a double, a single, and scored a run. Had one run batted in. Game three of the series is tonight. Adrian Hauser against the Cards lefty Zach Thompson. First pitch at 6:45. NFL. The Packers host the Saints on Sunday. New Orleans is short at running back. Former Packer and Lions Jamal Williams is now with the Saints, but he's out this week with a hamstring injury. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers face Purdue Friday in Indiana. The kickoff at 6 o'clock. Badgers safety Hunter Wohler had two interceptions against Georgia Southern and was named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. We asked him what it's like getting ready for a Friday night game.
It's been fast. I'll tell you what, it's a quick turnaround from last week. Lot less rest time. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun playing on a Friday. It'll be fun to get down there and play at night in front of a big crowd. You know, I enjoy playing it at Purdue. You know, I like their atmosphere. I like their stadium. I like the grass.
That's Packers safety Hunter Wohler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. It's the 20th day of September. Come on in, relax, have a seat, get a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and let's go over some news and see what's going on today. Well, first, let's get to the weather outside today in La Crosse. Partly sunny skies with a slight chance of rain after about 3 p.m. in Eau Claire today. Mostly sunny with a high around 83. Richland Center, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain after noon. And then in Amory today, mostly sunny with a high around 81 degrees. And in Hayward today, mostly sunny with a high around 80. Well, in sports, the Brewers beat the Cardinals last night, 7-3. And game three of that four-game series is tonight in St. Louis. So in the headlines today, you may have heard that President Biden addressed the United Nations General Assembly yesterday and urged world leaders to stand up to Russia and not let Ukraine be carved up. Also, the Northern Lights have been visible in many areas of Wisconsin the last couple nights, and they should be visible again tonight as long as you don't have clouds in the way. Also, the annual list of national blue ribbon schools has been announced, and Wisconsin has 8 schools on that list. And also in the news, the Chippewa County Board announced it plans to discipline the sheriff and may move to remove him from office. So we'll get to more on all those stories as we progress through this show. And thank you for tuning in today. Hope you're having a good day so far. The first topic that I want to get to today is about the world coming together. You know, the leaders of the world meet every year in New York City for the United Nations General Assembly. And this week is when that is happening. So President Biden was there yesterday and spoke before the General Assembly. In this headline from the Associated Press, it says Biden exhorts world leaders at the UN to stand up to Russia
warns not to let Ukraine be carved up. This piece was posted yesterday afternoon at the Associated Press, which I believe is AP.com. It says here, United Nations is the dateline. President Joe Biden made his case before the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday, yesterday, that the world must remain united in defending Ukraine against Russian aggression, warning that no nation can be secure if we allow Ukraine to be carved up as he tries to rally support for Kyiv's effort to repel a nearly 19-month-old Russian invasion that has no end in sight. The president of the United States called on world leaders to not let support for Ukraine diminish. And he argued that Russia is counting on countries to grow tired of prolonged conflict in Kyiv, which will, quote, allow it to brutalize Ukraine without consequence, end quote. Russia alone is standing in the way of a resolution, Biden argued, saying that Moscow's price for peace was, quote, Ukraine's capitulation, Ukraine's territory, and Ukraine's children. He says, I ask you this, if we abandon the core principles of the United States to appease an aggressor, can any member state in this body feel confident that they are protected? If we allow Ukraine to be carved up, is the independence of any nation secure? He said, I'd respectfully suggest the answer is no. The president's forceful rhetoric on Ukraine appeared aimed not just for a global audience, but for Washington, where an increasingly isolationist strain of the Republican Party is jeopardizing the prospects of the United States successfully replenishing the steady flow of aid that has gone to Kyiv since the war began in February of last year, 2022. The Biden administration has asked Congress to greenlight an additional $24 billion in security and humanitarian aid to Ukraine, but Republicans who control the House have all but ignored that request as lawmakers scramble to ensure government funding remains flowing beyond the end of September. Animated by the views of former President Donald Trump, a vocal faction of House Republicans remain steadfastly opposed to more Ukraine aid, even as other Republican lawmakers, primarily in the Senate, continue to advocate support for Kyiv to dissuade Russia from spreading its attacks beyond Ukraine's borders. And let me ask you this, what do you think would happen if Russia successfully takes over Ukraine? Do you think that they will stop there? You think that Putin would be satisfied with that? I would say chances are he would continue moving and move on other countries. And it seems like with a guy like Vladimir Putin, that it may just be a matter of time before the United States was involved in a war and trying to push back against Russia. So it's obvious that supporting Ukraine at this time is the best, or is in the best interest of the United States. Biden, yesterday at his address at the United Nations, says, we have to stand up to this naked aggression today and deter other would-be aggressors tomorrow. That's why the United States, together with our allies and partners around the world, will continue to stand with the brave people of Ukraine as they defend their sovereignty and territorial integrity and their freedom. Other senior members of the Biden administration were making their case on Tuesday as Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin pushed Allied defense leaders in remarks at Ramstein Air Base in Germany to dig deep and provide more air defense systems for Ukraine to help the country wage its counteroffensive. Indeed, the broader message is intended to resonate beyond Moscow and even Capitol Hill. Washington remains on guard against Chinese aggression in the South China Sea, where competing territorial claims have caused tension in the region. Beijing also wants to reunite the mainland with the self-governing island of Taiwan, a goal that raises the prospect of another war. During his address, Biden described the partnerships that the U.S. government was fostering around the globe, from Africa to the Indo-Pacific, that he said were creating economic, security, and other advancements, even as he stressed that those relationships were not about containing any country, a clear reference to Beijing. He said, when it comes to China, let me be clear and consistent. We seek to responsibly manage competition between our countries so it does not tip into conflict. I've said we are for de-risking, not decoupling with China. That's a quote from Biden at the UN General Assembly yesterday. He emphasized that Beijing and Washington need to cooperate on climate and referenced recent natural disasters, devastating heat waves, droughts, and floods around the globe as part of a snapshot that tells, quote, the urgent story of what awaits us if we fail to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and begin to climate-proof the world, end quote. Despite his own emphasis on climate as a priority, Biden does not plan to attend a special summit on climate that UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres will host on Wednesday, today, where countries are encouraged to bring new ideas and proposals on how to further cut emissions and combat climate change. Officials played down Biden's absence at the climate summit and said John Kerry, the U.S. climate envoy, will attend in Biden's place. I have more of this after we take a quick break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey, man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Kripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Kripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy today with daytime highs approaching 81. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 56. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 79. Mid-70s Friday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Turning cooler Saturday with highs in the low 70s and scattered showers possible. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 57.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Why can't we live together? It's a great question, huh? Music from Timmy Thomas on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It's a good song for the topic that we're discussing. Joe Biden went to the United Nations yesterday and spoke before the General Assembly. More than 140 countries from around the world represented at the United Nations General Assembly yesterday. And the president gave a 30-minute address talking about a few topics, mainly about the support for Ukraine against Russia and how important that is, not just to Ukraine, obviously, but also to democracy in general and countries that have democratic governments. So in his, and by the way, I'm going over a piece from the Associated Press that covered the speech yesterday. It says in his 30-minute address, oh, by the way, I want to give you some updated temperatures. We've got 60 degrees in La Crosse right now and 58 in Richland Center. All right. In his 30-minute address, Biden also repeatedly emphasized the value of institutions such as the United Nations and international coalitions that has helped the world confront significant challenges such as poverty and disease, as well as echoing his defense of democracy, a common theme of his presidency. Biden said, "We will not retreat from the values that make us strong. We will defend democracy, our best tool to meet the challenges that we face around the world. And we're working to show how democracy can deliver in ways that matter to people's lives." The annual forum was a chance for Biden to showcase to other world leaders and the 2024 U.S. electorate that he's reestablished the United States leadership on the world stage as that he says was diminished under former President Donald Trump. And there were some notable absences as Biden addressed the General Assembly yesterday. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, French President Emmanuel Macron, Chinese President Xi Jinping, and Vladimir Putin, the leaders of the other permanent members of the UN Security Council, are all skipping the gathering. U.S. officials downplayed that fact and instead emphasized the importance that Biden attaches to showing up at the annual diplomatic forum. For Biden, the more important audience for Tuesday's speech could be closer to home as he looks to make the case to voters that he has skillfully handled a complicated foreign policy agenda and that the experience that comes with age has proved to be an asset. It's an argument that the 80-year-old Joe Biden is likely to continue to make to counter skepticism, even in his own Democratic Party, among voters who are concerned about his age. And we'll get back to more of this piece about what happened yesterday in New York after we take a break. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK has a new starting lineup. 1215, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. We're getting closer to another government shutdown as a group of hardline Republicans is holding out for more budget cuts. ABC's Rachel Scott has more from Capitol Hill.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy facing increasing pressure to unite his party and avert a government shutdown.
I don't think it's right that government shuts down, and that's why I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that doesn't happen.
But the rebellion within his own ranks leaves McCarthy in a perilous situation. Some even calling him a weak speaker, threatening to oust him. It's the biggest test for the speaker since the debt ceiling showdown, with members of his own caucus demanding deeper spending cuts and stricter border policies.
President Biden addressing world leaders at the UN General Assembly. Among his messages, don't give up on the war in Ukraine. The plea coming as more Republicans in Congress say they're no longer going to vote in favor of funding for the war. The Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. More than two dozen conservation groups sent a joint letter to the United States Forest Service yesterday calling to stop a logging project in Wisconsin. According to a Wisconsin Examiner report, the coalition seeks to stop the Four Mile Vegetation Project, which is moving forward with seven planned timber sales in the 12,000-acre project. The group claims the Trump administration didn't adequately account for the environmental impacts of the project when it was given approval. Eight Wisconsin schools have been named to the 2023 list of National Blue Ribbon Schools, recognizing their academic achievements. Two schools in the northwest region of the state were recognized on the list, Houdini Elementary School in Appleton and New Richmond Paperjack Elementary School in New Richmond. Schools were chosen for the list based on high performance on standardized tests and achievement gap closing. Only 353 schools were awarded a National Blue Ribbon nationwide this year. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Give me the chance.
Yeah, give peace a chance. John and Yoko. Always a good idea. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Yeah, it's been over 50 years since that song was recorded, and we're still fighting for peace. Joe Biden yesterday at the United Nations calling on the world to support Ukraine in their fight against Russia. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We got 836 right now, 58 degrees and sunshine in Eau Claire, and it's 60 degrees with mostly cloudy skies in Amory right now. And before the break, we were discussing this address by President Biden yesterday at the United Nations General Assembly. I was going over an account of the speech from the Associated Press, and I was to this point here in the story where it says, after the speech yesterday, President Biden sat down with Gutierrez, that is Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Gutierrez, and later on Tuesday met with leaders from the so-called C5 group of Central Asian nations, also known as the STANs. There is Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, saying the cooperation among the nations is at new heights. President Biden outlined several areas of collaboration, including on critical minerals and disability rights. Xi Jinping has stepped up his own courting of those countries during his own summit in May with the Central Asian leaders. Xi promised to build more railway and other trade links with the region and proposed jointly developing oil and gas sources. President Biden said, "We are stronger, and I genuinely believe the world is safer when we stand together, our five nations," referring to those C5 countries and the United States. That's what Biden said following the closed-door meeting with the leaders of those countries. President Biden is scheduled to host talks tomorrow at the White House with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, who, by the way, did address the United Nations General Assembly yesterday as well. So that's what's going on with the president addressing the United Nations yesterday. The next topic that I want to get to, and by the way, if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And you can also send me an email message if you would like to. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. And Stu is spelled S-T-U. And by the way, thanks to listeners who have sent me email messages. I have received several, and a lot of people have a lot of nice things to say about the radio show, so I appreciate that. Hey, getting back to what's in the news, have you seen the Northern Lights the last couple of nights? Evidently, in many parts of Wisconsin, the Northern Lights have been visible for the past couple of nights. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, this was posted yesterday, so it refers to the lights that were visible on Monday night. But now they're saying that tonight is probably the best night, as long as you don't have clouds in the way. In fact, in the Journal Sentinel that I'm looking at this article, they have pictures from residents in Chippewa County of some just amazing northern lights dancing in the sky. So let me give you a little bit of this article. It says, while most of us were sleeping, the Northern Lights made an appearance in Wisconsin on Monday night after an eruption on the sun hurled a coronal mass ejection toward Earth. As particles from the coronal mass ejection arrive to Earth, they interact with our planet's magnetic field, causing the Northern Lights to appear in the sky, according to the NOAA Space Weather Prediction Center. Northern Lights were visible in parts of northern Wisconsin, said meteorologist Cameron Miller with the National Weather Service. Unfortunately, folks in the southern parts of the state weren't able to see them due to cloud cover. When the Northern Lights are active, the best time to see them is between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. All right. So keep in mind that in many areas of Wisconsin, they should be visible again tonight. So take a look outside after 10 p.m. And if you don't see them then, keep in mind you've got till at least 2 a.m., maybe even later, depending on where you are, and you may get to see them. I've only seen them a few times in my life, but man, it is awesome. Awesome to see the Northern Lights. Hey, the next story I want to get to is about the infighting going on in one of our two big political parties. I have a headline here from CNN. This was posted just this morning. It says, "The Republican Party infighting is driving America toward a government shutdown. Time is running out." This piece from CNN starts out by saying the Republican Party's war on itself has turned its inoperative House majority into a clown show. The words clown show in quotation marks, and a dysfunction caucus, also in quotation marks, and is handing wins to the Chinese Communist Party. And that's just what some of its own members say about it. Days of recriminations between far-right hardliners, moderates, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and his nihilistic tormentors reached a new peak on Tuesday in extraordinary scenes of inter-party infighting on the south side of the U.S. Capitol. And by the way, I should mention this analysis at CNN's website was written by Stephen Collinson, in case you're wondering whose words these are. Back to the story, it says, "The legislative train wreck made clear that more is now at stake than McCarthy's loosening grip on a job he craved for years and the capacity of the Republicans to fulfill the chamber's most basic function, setting a budget to run the country. The Republican majority's farcical self-harm now increasingly appears to be putting America on a path hurtling toward a government shutdown ahead of a deadline for new federal funding at the end of next week. This could mean furloughs for federal workers, and from what I've seen, estimates are about 850,000 workers. This could mean furloughs for federal workers who provide basic services. Could also mean that troops go unpaid. Could also mean that the possibility of severe damage to an economy that can't afford more knocks if the impasse is prolonged. A shutdown provoked by the demands for massive spending cuts by Republican hardliners that they have no hope of forcing through the Senate or getting President Biden to sign could sour voters on the small House majority they gave to Republicans in the midterm elections. More broadly, it could raise fresh doubts about the capacity of a polarized nation featuring an ever more extreme and performative Republican Party in ex-President Donald Trump's image to govern itself. And the chaos could spread beyond the U.S. Another failure Tuesday to pass a defense bill raised the possibility that political discord now and in the future could hamper U.S. readiness amid a challenge from a rising Chinese superpower. And Ukraine's fight for survival looks increasingly hostage to the House's unwillingness or inability to finance a new lifeline of arms and ammunition. So, what is the standoff all about? McCarthy's leadership team is still struggling to find a way to pass a stopgap spending bill known as a continuing resolution, or a CR, to keep government open and buy more time to end a fierce internecine dispute over demands for massive spending cuts by hardliners. But the radicals may have the numbers to stop the measure from even reaching the House floor and demand more concessions. Quote, "I don't know how they will get to 218, South Carolina, Republican Representative Nancy Mace said, referring to McCarthy's magic number to pass a bill. And that's what she said after leaving a conference meeting. In Congress, chaos and ill feeling often reach their most extreme pitch just before the fever breaks and a creative solution emerges to punt a problem weeks down the road. McCarthy has been hoping this is the case by refusing to abandon the CR, but the Republican majority is so thin, the Speaker can lose only 4 votes with its current margin. Got to take a break. It's going to be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. It happened on the strip where the road is wide.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy today, with daytime highs approaching 81. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 56. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 79. Mid-70s Friday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Turning cooler Saturday, with highs in the low 70s and scattered showers possible. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 59.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Up in the morning, does his teeth bite too?
Dave Matthews Band, going back to their debut album, 1994, released on this date in 1994, September 20th. Hard to believe it's been that long, but that was the beginning of a long and successful career with that band, still going strong in 2023. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Got 8:53, almost 8:54 right now. 61 degrees in Hayward with mostly sunny skies, and La Crosse has 61 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. And just before the break, I was talking about the possibility, maybe even the probability, that the U.S. government is going to be shut down because Republicans don't want to go along with the program. I was in this piece here from CNN with a title, with a headline that says, "The Republican Party infighting is driving America toward a government shutdown." And they have until next week to get this together. But there are some hardliners, some extremist, ultra-right-wing hardliners who say, no way, we don't want to fund the U.S. government. And so even Republicans, some not so extreme Republicans, are criticizing the extremists. I gave you that quote from South Carolina Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace. She said, "I don't know how they will get to 218, referring to McCarthy's magic number to pass a bill. That's what she said after leaving a conference meeting yesterday. In Congress, chaos and ill feeling often reach their most extreme pitch just before the fever breaks, and a creative solution emerges to punt a problem weeks down the road. McCarthy has been hoping this is the case by refusing to abandon the continuing resolution. But the Republican majority is so thin, the speaker can only lose 4 votes with its current margin. And the party is so bitterly divided that past experience may be a poor predictor of outcomes. And for some, a smallish block on the extreme edge of the pro-Trump conference, the chance to close down a government that many of them disdain, could get them points from base voters and the ex-president, and maybe an end in itself. It's hard to believe that some elected officials would like to see the government shut down, but that's where we are now. It says here, Representative Mike Simpson, a veteran member for Idaho, bemoaned the situation where recalcitrant members can hold the rest of the chamber hostage. He said, it's frustrating that the place doesn't work anymore. We're being dragged around by 20 people, but 200 of us are in agreement. They want their way or the highway. And that's not the way this government works. Simpson's comment encapsulated both the reality of the tiny Republican majority and also the fact that the Republican radicals essentially reject the premise of constitutional divided government itself. They have failed to build sufficient public support through elections to win power, but they are trying to wield it anyway, an approach that threatens democracy, but is in keeping with the character of much of their party in the age of Trump. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Stock car boy, he eat too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby. He got another one that just say, hey. But every Sunday afternoon he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Oh, Rapid Roy, that stock car boy, he the best driver in the land. He say that he learned to race a stock car by running shine out of demolition derby and the figure eight is easy money on the bank compared to running from the man in Oklahoma City with a 500-gallon tank. Oh, Rapid Roy, that stock car boy, he eat too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby. He got another one that just say, hey. And Sunday afternoon he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on
ABC
the Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
I'm Justin Finch.